Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and today we want to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, home education, something that we've been doing in our family since 1966, I think it was, when my mother first started to homeschool myself and my sister in Portland, Oregon. Eventually, she took up the job on the mission field in Japan through the 1960s and 1970s, and the rest is history. We've been homeschooling ourselves. From the beginning, Daniel was born back in 1991. He's 21 years of age, and we've got everybody down to Abigail, who's 12, and we've been homeschooling our five out here in Colorado for pretty much the length of that time. Also, I worked for Christian Home Educators of Colorado for something like 12 or 13 years and continue to work with them now as part of the Generations ministry. And friends, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has brought to this country with the expansion of the homeschool vision to the tune of some 2 to 3 million people around the country are now homeschooling. I was doing an intro seminar out in Durango, Colorado, a couple of years ago. I remember I had my children with me and we were heading on out there and some woman was broken down the side of the road and we just stopped to help her. And she said, what are you guys doing? I said, we're heading out to a homeschool intro seminar in Durango. She said, whoa, homeschooling. I've got friends. I got neighbors doing that kind of thing. I think nothing but good about what you guys are doing. So, you know, just running into random people, a lot of them know what's involved in homeschooling. A lot of them are fairly impressed with what's going on with the home education movement. And I'm telling you, that was not the case in 1979. If you were to run into somebody on the side of the road in 1979 and talk about homeschooling, they would have said, what in the world is that? This is a relatively new movement, at least in the modern age. Of course, previous to the public schools, homeschooling was actually fairly common for about 6,000 years of world history. So this is not new in terms of the world history, but it is new in terms of the modern world, where a segment of the population broke off from the standard conventional schooling and brought it home. And the results have been interesting. The results have been pretty good, actually, as you look at what Dr. Brian Ray and the National Home Education Research Institute has discovered in terms of academic results, in terms of social results, in terms of how these kids wind up as they grow up. And a recent study from Dr. Brian Ray indicated that homeschoolers were actually doing very, very well after graduating from high school and graduating from college. And so, you know, as we look at the results, it seems that homeschooling has set a pretty good trajectory. We're not saying that this is a panacea and everything's going to be hunky-dory if you start to homeschool. In fact, it could be a real struggle for you. And there is no panacea. There's no cure for all for everything that we do in terms of raising our children. But homeschooling seems to have added a really positive edge to what we are doing. I was speaking to the Commissioner of Education in Colorado something like 10 years ago or so. He's appointed by a conservative Republican mayor or governor back in the late 1990s. And this fellow was telling me that homeschooling is the brightest light in America's academic future. And he saw an end to the brick-and-mortar schools eventually, but also saw that homeschoolers were really excelling in terms of their academics, and it was one of the brightest elements of the modern academic scenario. Well, in light of that, we're going to head down to Old Schoolhouse magazine. And Old Schoolhouse is one of the largest, if not the largest, homeschool magazine in the country right now. Very important magazine, encouraging tens of thousands, perhaps almost 100,000 folks who access it online. And Deborah Wooler is a editor. She's a senior editor and director of production at Old Schoolhouse magazine. She's also got eight children herself, ages 4 through 21, and she's been at this for a long time herself. Deborah, welcome to the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin.
You have been at it for about as long as we have, and I'm sure you're very busy with everything that you're doing with Old Schoolhouse magazine, and oh yeah, you homeschool too. I can remember one time we were sitting around a bunch of volunteers for the conference here in Colorado, and one of the ladies who did a lot of the volunteering, she said, this would be so much easier if we didn't have to homeschool our kids.
Well, we do what God calls us to do, and homeschooling is one of those things, right?
Yeah, yeah. And one of the keys is, I think, to integrate our children into what we're doing. You know, if we could just kind of integrate the thing, you know, I'm sure you work out of your house.
Right.
Yeah, and they're there, your children are there with you about the same time that you're there doing the work.
Exactly.
And so you just find ways to sort of integrate it and make it work, huh?
We do. Well, what usually for myself is when the kids are doing their schoolwork around the table, I'm doing my work around the table with them, and I have a chair next to me, and when someone has a question, they come sit in the chair, and we talk it over, and we work through that problem. And we also have our own group time where we do our Bible study and we do our history and things like that, where we're not around the table. We're just hanging around at the couch. And
so do you do some cross-age activities where all of the children at various age levels are able to, you know, listen to things read out loud and such?
Oh, right. Definitely. Yeah. Yes, we do our read alouds together, and we do science together and history together and Bible together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is one way in which homeschooling can be a little more efficient.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. We have to be wise about our time, and we have to be wise about how we plan our days, because we need to ask God to give us a heart of wisdom that we might plan our days properly.
Right.
And so I think a lot of people are nervous to even think about home education because they don't know how they're going to plan their days. They don't have a clue as to what to do. But really, when does education start? I mean, it started when these little babies came home from the hospital, right?
Right.
Or first in their own home, wherever it was, it starts there, and it doesn't end until they are in heaven.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you can get your little graduation diploma when you graduate from preschool or kindergarten, but it ain't over yet.
It's just a reminder
that you survived a year.
Well, we survive because we have a mighty God with us. In fact, one of the things I say all the time is, I am a very ordinary homeschool mom, but I have a very extraordinary God who, like he did for Moses, he does for me, and he gives me he tells me exactly what to do, what to say, where to go, and he provides the power behind it. So, really anything that we do in obedience to his commands, he is going to reward. And so we may not see that reward like today when I'm, you know, struggling through this math concept with my child or this character issue with my child. I may not be seeing that reward right then, but God rewards our obedience. It's just what he does.
Yeah.
He does that.
Deborah, one of the things I've learned is that whatever you do, don't try this without faith. You know, the just will live by faith. That just keeps going through my mind all the time, and my wife as well, because, you know, you can turn your children over to professionals, and you have at least the impression that the professionals, as certified by the United States National Education Association or whatever it is, are going to just do a fine job and everything's going to turn out hunky-dory in 18 years. But when you step up to the plate yourself and you take a big breath and you say, I'm going to sign up for this, it's just overwhelming. Why do you think it's such an overwhelming thing for us?
Well, I think because we are basing it on our own knowledge and our own ideas of what we think should happen. And we're probably bringing our own public school or Christian school or whatever experience we had, trying to figure out how to fit that into our home. And that's really not what it's about, right? It's about discipleship and family socialization within the family, which spreads out and ripples out into the community. I mean, that's what we want after 12 years with our kids, is that they are able to be well-adjusted, good citizens, good people, morally excellent, that they know how to research, they know how to live, they know how to work. And when we send them out after 12 years, God rewards all of this little, you know, pieces of time that we've put in, this line upon line, precept upon precept, day after day of doing the same thing with our kids.
We just have to believe. We have to believe that as we do the work, God is going to come underneath it all and just make it work for us, you know.
I think it takes more faith, actually, to hope that our children would turn out if we give them over to someone else. I mean, that takes a lot of faith.
It probably would. Yeah, it probably would. But you have the impression that they're going to do a fine job because that's what they tell you.
Right. I just was on the NEA website yesterday, and I was reading some comments from teachers there, and they were all commiserating about how they didn't have time to really do what they loved, which was teach. They had to fill out all these forms, and they had to make sure that the kids met these criteria, and they had to fill these kids' heads with this stuff that the kids had to spit out on these tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're really not teaching them anything. They're just doing what they're told to do and filling out all the paperwork. And so we can do a much better job. It's really easy. It's really not that hard. I mean, we know our children. We know how they learn. We know what they need to learn. Mm-hmm. There's so much help out there for us that it's almost overwhelming the help that there is.
Yeah. I sometimes contrasted the homeschool to with a large public school institution as a little rubber raft coming down the river next to the large casino boat, you know, where the rubber raft really has a fair amount of flexibility to it. But, man, you got to paddle that thing. And occasionally you fall out of the boat or one of the kids falls out of the boat. So you got to pull them back in. So, you know, we have our problems, but sometimes we make it a little further down the road than the casino boat.
Yeah, I think we do because we have God pushing us.
Yeah. If the Lord is in the boat with us.
Yes. And he has, power over the wind and the waves.
Amen.
Even in the midst of the turmoil, he can see us through to the other side. Mm. And I think if we're looking at that casino boat, what we're seeing is a lot of entertainment, a lot of ungodliness going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about an example I heard a long time ago about, say you move into a new neighborhood and there's a house down the street that all the kids like to go to. And so your child, you're like, okay, well, you can check it out. Tell me everything that you see and hear over there and come back. And the child comes back and they're all excited. Oh, we do so many fun things over at their house. Their kids get to do this and that. And yeah, the parents are nice. They're really, you know, they're good people. And then the child keeps going back to the house, and pretty soon the child is saying, well, I don't know if we really believe what you believe anymore, Dad and Mom, because these parents are, you know, they believe this, and look at how much fun they're having, and I don't think I believe what you believe anymore. And they're telling me about safe sex, and they're telling me about homosexuality, and they're telling me about, you know, trees are more important than babies.
Mm-hmm.
And would you as a parent continue to let your child go down the street to that neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And, hopefully good parents would say, no, you're not allowed back at that house ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But yet that's what we do. We look at that casino boat and go, you know what? They're doing a better job. Let's just throw our kids into that boat.
Yeah. But, exactly.
They're not going to come back out as our children, you know, holding on to our values and our God. Mm-hmm. They're going to be just another part of that casino boat. So we want a new path, right? We want to chart new waters.
And the neat thing about it is there have been families who've made it down the river. That's kind of neat. I mean, you know, the movement's been around since the early 1980s, I think, when Dr. Dobson started talking about homeschooling and popularizing it among much of the Christian audience. You know, we began to see graduates show up, and there were some really positive results. Not to say that this is a cure for all. You know, this is not a panacea. There are people who can really struggle, and there are problems. Have you had to interact with some of those problems? I know you've worked with a support group in California. And so you've had some experience with that. What are the downfalls? What are the pitfalls?
Well, there's a lot of pitfalls just in regular living. I mean, as women, we have to deal with things like depression, you know, hormonal issues. We have to deal with our own feelings and emotions. Yeah. We have to deal with, you know, loving our husbands and loving our children. And really, it's just a walk with Christ is what is going to hold us together.
Mm.
During those times, I wrote an editorial once called 10 Years of Burnout, and I showed how each year had a major issue that I had to go through and how I came out shining forth, you know, more for the glory of God because of those things that I went through. But those things in our lives, yes, they are hurdles. Yes, we need to overcome, but God created us to be overcomers.
Mm.
And so even in homeschooling, there are those days where you say, I do not even like my children today.
Yes, right.
They are not obeying me. They are not learning. I feel like I am the worst mother in the world. I feel like I'm the worst homeschool teacher in the world. But really, we all go through those feelings. And if people would just know that, you know, that's the human emotion going on there, that we all feel like we can't do the best job possible, but even if we leave gaps, God fills in all those gaps.
Yeah. I always imagined myself in a glorious war. You know, you may be in the most glorious battle of all of history. And so there you are in the middle of it all. But when you're, you know, walking through a bog in Vietnam with mud up to your elbows, it just doesn't feel that glorious. It's just,
right,
you know,
right.
This is not fun. This isn't going anywhere. I'm not sure I'm going to win this battle. Almost like you need some hope that there's some light at the end of the tunnel and it's not an oncoming train.
Right. You know, you mentioned Dr. Brian Ray and National Home Education and Research Institute. Mm-hmm. And what he points out with all of his studies is pretty much this, is that no matter how you teach your children, no matter how much curriculum you use or not use, you could be an unschooler all the way to, you know, a stack of workbooks.
Yeah.
You could use a little bit of money and a library card, or you could use, you know, a lot of money and a lot of resources. It all works out the same. You could be an educated, you know, teacher, or you could have no education. I have a high school education and just a tiny bit of college, but God still has used me, and I still have, you know, I have children who have made it to the university. My two oldest are in a university, but that was not due to any of my own knowledge at all. That was just following God's plan and moving his direction and doing what he said to do for that day, for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And God produced the fruit.
Mm. Deborah, so, going back into time and thinking about when you started, why did you folks look at homeschooling at the beginning?
Well, personally, I was a military child, and so we moved around a lot. And I went to 13 different schools in 11 years.
Wow.
And so I had a lot of experience with teachers, with different students, with different environments. I went to Christian schools. I went to public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter which kind of school I went to. The same problems were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was not happy with my school experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started. I wasn't happy with that. And then when I got married, my husband and I began to attend a church where the pastor and his wife were a homeschool family, and they had 8 children or so.
Okay.
And those children were so different. They were so very different than the children I grew up with in all of my schooling environments, Christian or not. And I looked at these children and I said, what is different about them? And then they, you know, explained to us that they just school their children at home. You know, really, that makes that difference. And you could see that it starts in the family unit, that God's design is that the family produce the education for these children, that it's all there within the family. He created God's, like, his image is stamped on the family unit. And so socialization, education, everything starts there.
It is a different social situation. I mean, I think we just all have to recognize that if you pull your children out of a school where they were be with other kids their own age exclusively for 40 hours every week or extensively every week, and you decide not to do that, but have them with you for 40 waking hours each week versus the other group, that is a different social situation. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a sociologist to figure that out. The
right.
homeschool situation is different. It's a different social situation. And it really creates a different social creature, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And, you know, the whole myth of socialization is that they're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our kids are being socialized, whether they're in the public school or they're at home with us. It just depends on what kind of socialization they're getting.
Right.
I mean, are they going to be socialized in adopting to our society's behaviors and conforming with its values, or are they going to be socialized in our family, conforming to our behaviors and our values? So really, they're not unsocialized. They're just socialized very differently.
Right.
Like you said, it produces a very different kind of child.
And it's not the peer group. They're actually with children different ages. They're with adults. It's just a huge cross-age contact experience. Something that you don't get as much in a public school classroom.
That's correct. And you see that children will take on the values of their peers, no matter how strong the Christian family is at home. You know, if they go to a public school, and like you said, they spend so much time with these kids that they want to be like them, and they want, it's just our human nature. We want to be like who we spend the most time with.
Hmm.
And so, you know, at home, we want to be like our parents and all the other socialization we get. I mean, it's almost like homeschoolers are over-socialized.
Yeah.
Because we are so much more out in the community and doing all the things that these other poor kids don't get to do.
Right. So you do get lots and lots of extracurricular stuff going on all the way through. And more opportunity, more freedom, ultimately more liberty to get around and do things. Of course, you can probably conjure up the case, the homeschool case, where you have an only child, he gets stuck in a closet for 18 years, and he is weird. You know, and anecdotal evidence is that anecdotal evidence. People say, I know homeschooling is very weird. I usually come back and say, I know a public school kid, he's really weird. You know, like, you want anecdote? I'll give you anecdote. You want to find an improperly socialized public school kid? I can find one for you. In fact,
exactly.
I can find it on the front page of a newspaper if you'd like.
Exactly.
You know, so we got to be careful with that.
You do have to be careful with that. It's just a whole different worldview and mindset that who do we want to conform to? Who do we want our children to conform to?
Mm-hmm.
And who do we want to guide them? Do we want our society and its cultural norms to guide them, or do we want to do what the Bible says about? I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about socialization. You look at Proverbs 13:20. It says, "He who walks with the wise shall become wise, yeah. but a companion of fools will be destroyed."
That's huge. That's huge.
So, that's huge. And so, do you want to take that risk of your child being destroyed, or do you want to minimize that risk and keep them home and do what God says to do? I mean, there's so much about socialization in the Bible. It says that pure religion in James and is this, to visit the fatherless, to visit the widows, to get out in the community, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And so how better can we do that than right in our home context?
Sure. And, you know, I think homeschoolers are interested. Many of them are, not maybe all of them. They're interested in seeing that their children are able to get out there and encourage others in the church, maybe be an encouragement to some elderly folks that are in a rest home just down the street, maybe evangelize others who don't know the gospel of Christ, or even get out into the economy and do a little buying and selling, trading and contracting. I mean, we want our children to be able to function out there. But not just walk with fools and do foolish things and hang out in the back of the school smoking pot. Okay, that's not my vision of socialization. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with what the goal is. What are we doing with them, and how do we want them to grow up, and what do we want them to be when they grow up?
Right, you're so right there, and I think for me. The Bible talks about where prosperity and success comes from.
Yeah.
And in Psalm chapter 1 and Joshua chapter 1 both say that meditating on the Word of God day and night is where prosperity and success comes from. And day and night, well, you know, most of the kids of today cannot even, don't even know about the Word of God, let alone think about it during the day. Yeah. And at night, everybody's too busy trying to get stuff done and get to bed to do any of that. But
the socialization out there right now, Deborah, is pitiful. I mean pitiful. All these kids can do is sit around and text their friends 150 times every hour, and they just don't know how to look an adult in the eye anymore. They don't know how to have intelligent conversation. They hardly have a vocabulary more than about 37 words. I don't know what's going on with our youth, but the level of the capability to interact, to communicate, to engage in a simple conversation has really diminished in just the last 10 years.
It has. And I think a lot of that is just the negative socialization they receive. What I mean is, like in your government schools, you could easily go from this negative socialization into socialism, because this is what you do in the schools, is you dole out whatever's required for the masses. You don't give them a chance to be creatively thinking about things. They have to know this for the test. They have to receive the same training and testing from these adults who are bored with the curriculum. But it's best for the general audience, and they have to learn how to think as a group instead of think individually.
Yeah.
And so they don't know how to think. And so when you ask them a question they look at you with those glassy eyes like, what? What are you talking about? I don't think for myself. Everybody's told me what to think. You know, I've been spoon-fed this stuff that I just regurgitate later, and then I don't know anything about what life is. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I graduated from my homeschool back in 1981, I really didn't have a huge problem getting into American society. I did understand that there was a battle to be fought. You know, there was a battle of worldviews, and not everybody was really going to sign up to a Christian view of things. But I was student body president of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo back in 1986, my senior year. And I got involved in politics and corporate management. And really, my homeschool experience, I don't think in any way detracted from my success, my ability to interact in society around me. And I think a lot of that, Deborah, was due to the fact that my parents did get me out of the house and had me involved on the mission field, interacting with people who didn't think and act just like me, people from other cultures, people who need to know about the Lord. You know, we had lots and lots of people over. We were very, very hospitable, and that was a huge part of my dad's ministry vision. So, you know, I think that overall my parents gave me a great preparation, and that can happen in any homeschool, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, very much so. Your parents trained you for life.
Yeah.
They were raising adults. They were not raising children, and I think that's a big difference is that within the government schools, we have children. We have teachers raising children. I mean, they go from one age to the next age, but they're still children. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the home environment, the parents are teaching our children, hopefully, to be adults. And so we're always training them towards excellence. You can, you know, this is not the right way to behave. And this is, you know, how you, we just train them for excellence, moral excellence, just academic excellence. We're training them to represent God. But in a godless society, there's no one to represent. There's no parent to emulate there. It's whatever you think is best.
How did your children adapt to the college environment?
Well, I kind of dunked them in there a little bit early, and just so they could get a taste of it before they went out to the university. So they took some junior college classes while they were still in high school. So, but then again, I had to watch the worldview that was being presented. I mean, I tried to put one child in an English, just your general requirement, English 1A, and it was talking, their whole curriculum was based around some cartoon, Family Guy cartoon on the television, and cultural relevancy of all this. And I thought, this is English 1A.
That's
so we had
hokey.
To pull him out of there and try to find a professor that would actually teach English.
Yeah. So the only thing I like about Family Guy is that one of the characters is named Kevin Swanson. I've never actually seen it. I just happen to know that.
So, I did not know that. Well, yeah. I think you could do a better job at creating a cartoon program on the family, which you have done, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I think we want to walk beside our children. That's really the key thing. The discipleship element is just saying, here's how you interact with society. When you run into this issue or that issue, this is how, you know, we address it. And if you've got that relationship with your child, the you know, discipleship of your children in terms of their interaction with the world around is I think just going to work. It's going to happen.
It is, because you are right there again, like you said, with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does not forsake us. He walks us through every situation and gives us the wisdom that we ask for. And so that is the same thing we want to do with our children. We walk them through every situation. We do not forsake them. We do not dunk them in a tank of piranhas and say, you know, swim for yourself, don't get bit.
Yeah.
And so we're walking with them and we're showing them as we go. We're not isolating them. You know, like you said, I think it's just a misunderstanding of what home-educated children really do. They're not isolated. You know, we take them with us out into the world and we explain what's going on and in our own worldview context. So
I really appreciate the work you've been doing with the magazine. And folks, the Old Schoolhouse magazine is now free, and we want to let everybody know that. It is a monthly magazine, so Deborah is a very, very busy editor, and it's got to be the biggest fullest, most informative homeschool magazine out there right now. I think something like 62,000 subscribers online, and you can access that, again, for free at tosapps.com. That's tosapps.com. And that will introduce you to the Old School House apps and get you signed up for free and get you on your laptop or your mobile devices or wherever you would like to receive the downloads of that monthly magazine. Again, a very encouraging, visionary magazine that's out there every month with new articles and extremely helpful information for folks who are just starting homeschooling or those who just need to be encouraged along the way. So, Deborah, anything else you'd like to say about the Old School House? I mean, what a great magazine.
Oh, thank you. No, it's all God's doing, and he can take it, you know, if he wants to stop it tomorrow, it's all his.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, our goal is to lift him up in all that we say and do, mm-hmm. and to come alongside and support the home educating family. And so we also have dozens of teachers. I forgot to mention to you earlier is that we have dozens of teachers. If moms are feeling like they don't know how to teach a certain subject, we have a membership site called schoolhouseteachers.com that we have dozens of teachers that will teach your children anything from writing to filmmaking to guitar to French. I mean, we have science experiments going on with Hooked on Phonics Guy teacher. I mean, we have so much that is helpful that we can come along and support you in your decision to home educate your children, keep them home where
they
belong.
Great resources, and that's one point that needs to be made is there are way more resources today to come alongside and help the homeschooling mom than what we had back in the 70s and 80s. So it's doable. It's doable.
It is.
Encouragement for you, the resources for you. Schoolhouseteachers.com is the one website. And to sign up for the free magazine again, folks, that's tosapps.com, tosapps.com. Well, Deborah, thanks so much for joining us on Generations today. We appreciate your wisdom and your humor, too.
Thank you, Kevin. It was fun.
And ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic